Welcome. It's a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Coming up in this hour, Jimmy Durante from Christmas Eve 1947. But first, we'll continue the story of the Cinnamon Bear. This is part 11 of 26 from December 9th, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
Well, last time, Judy and Jimmy and the Cinnamon Bear met Professor Whiz, the educated owl, who told them he'd seen the Crazy Quilt Dragon go into the Wintergreen Witch's house, and what's more, he had the Silver Star with him. But when they entered the house, there wasn't a sign of Crazy Quilt. At one end of the room was a huge picture of a forest. At least they thought it was a picture until they discovered it was a real forest. So in they went and met Fraidy Cat, who was frightened to death of a giant. And right now, the giant is coming closer and closer.
Gee, we're in for it all right. Come on, let's hurry.
Do you think the giant can see us?
I'm not sure. He's awful big. Maybe if we keep in the underbrush, he won't.
Meow, I'm so scared. Meow, I'm so unlucky. Everything happens to me.
We're all scared, little Fraidy Cat. We're going to try to escape the giant just the same.
We'll never be able to go faster than he does. He's coming closer and closer.
Oh, dear, what do we do?
Oh, don't step on us, Mr. Giant, please. Look out.
Of course I won't step on you. Where are you?
We're right here under this big tree.
You mean that little bush by my knee? Here, let me see. You're way down, aren't you?
Yes, but... please be careful. Don't hurt us. We haven't done anything to you.
I wouldn't think of hurting anybody. I'm Fee-Fo, the gentle giant. I am.
Ooh, that's a big relief to us, I can tell you.
Just a minute till I sit down. Then I'll be closer to you. Where are you now?
Here we are. My goodness, but you're just awful big.
He sure is all right. Well, he looks as high as the city hall, doesn't he, Judy?
You don't know how glad I am to see someone who looks like me, even if you aren't the same size. I haven't seen any people but the Wintergreen Witch for ever so long. Would you be afraid if I would pick you up and look at you a little closer? My eyes are a bit weak, you know.
Well, I don't mind. Gee, it'd be lots of fun.
I think it would be, too. How about you, Cinnamon Bear?
It's all right with me. But be real careful about the way you pick me up, won't you? My extra special stuffing is awfully sensitive to high altitudes. Let me hang on to your thumb.
Meow. Oh, my goodness. I forgot about Fraidy Cat.
A cat? Well, let me see it. I'm very fond of cats.
Fraidy Cat's nothing but a little kitten.
Well, that's all right. I like them that way. Come here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
I'm awful scared of you. Are you sure you won't hurt me?
Not for the world. Here, look. I'll put you in my coat pocket and you can look out of the buttonhole.
All right. If you'll be very careful.
There. Fraidy Cat's up. Now, how about the rest of you? Would you like to sit up on my shoulder?
You bet. Come on, Judy. Something. Hey, Cinnamon Bear.
Hello. I'm coming next.
There. We're all up.
Are you all quite comfortable?
Oh, yes, thank you, Fee-Fo.
Well, that's fine. Now, suppose you tell me who you are and what you're doing in the Wintergreen Witch's Magic Forest.
Well, I'm Jimmy Barton, and this is my twin sister, Judy. And he's Patio Cinnamon the Cinnamon Bear. And we've come an awful long way to try to get back our Silver Star that was stolen by the Crazy Quilt Dragon.
Silver Star?
Yes. It belongs on top of our Christmas tree. And Christmas won't be Christmas without it.
Have you seen the crazy quilt dragon by any chance, Fifo?
Well, no, I haven't. But that's not strange. Lots of things go on around my feet that I can't see.
You know, maybe I'm wrong, but I think I see a cinnamon bun on a tree over there.
Well, that's the cinnamon bun tree in the goody-goody grove. Oh, there's all kinds of good things to eat there. Chocolate eclair bushes, cream puff vines, and ice cream cone trees. Oh, just lots of things.
Gee, I just remember that I'm awful hungry. How about you, Judy?
Me too, Jimmy. I would just love something to eat.
Well, no sooner said than done. It's just a couple of steps over there. Here, hold tight while I get up. Here we are, and here we go. Here we are. I'd better put you on the ground again. You might fall off if I bent down to pick anything for you.
Ooh-wee!
Boy, that's so rough.
I didn't mean to overlook you, little fraidy cat. Here, there's a milkweed tree that has very delicious milk. I'll pick a pot of that for you.
Oh, thank you, Fifo. You're awfully good to me. And I was so scared when I first saw you.
Well, you don't have to be scared of me anymore. In fact, if you'd keep me company, I'd be very grateful. You know, I get very lonesome sometimes.
I'd like to stay with you. You wouldn't let anything hurt me, would you?
I should say not. How's the milk?
Very nice. Just the way I like it.
Oh, that's fine. How about the rest of you?
Oh, it's swell.
It's just wonderful.
Gee, this is the first time I ever got to eat all the cream puffs I wanted. Mother wouldn't let me have but one at home. She says they're too rich.
Well, eat just as many as you want. When nothing in the goody-goody grove will make you sick.
My goodness, Jimmy. You just ought to taste these chocolate eclairs. They're so good.
Yeah. You can't beat these cinnamon buns and this honey. Notice how sweet it makes my voice sound.
Boy, that was swell. I guess I won't want any more cream puffs for a long time. Say, how'd you ever happen to be in the magic forest, Fifo?
Well, I didn't used to be here at all. I used to live out on the island of Obi like everybody else. One day I was taking a nap on the beach, and the Wintergreen Witch made me real small and put me through the picture frame in her house, and then made me big again before I woke up. Now I can't get out because I'm too large.
Isn't there any way for you to get out?
The only way would be for the Wintergreen Witch to let me out, and she won't do it.
Say, I don't want to rush you two. But remember, we're a long way from finding Crazy Quill in the Silver Star.
I guess the best thing would be to look for him ourselves, since Fifo hasn't seen him. Yeah, he couldn't help us anyway, because in one step, he'd miss a million Crazy Quill dragons.
Thank you ever so much, Fifo, for the elegant lunch and for helping us.
I should say so. Those cream puffs just fixed me up swell.
I don't know what I would have done without my cinnamon buns. I wouldn't have been able to be ferocious at all.
Now, before you go, there's something I want to give you. It's a whistle. Now, I can't use it because it's too small for me. I just wear it on my watch chain for a charm. Here, wait a minute till I wet my finger. I can't pick it off very good unless I do. There. Now, you just blow on it 3 times if you want me for anything, and I'll hear it and I'll come a-running.
Like this?
Is it magic?
Yes. I used to dabble a bit in it before the witch put me in the magic forest. Well, you blow it if you need me, and I'll come in a jiffy.
Well, thank you ever so much, Fifo.
You bet. Gee, you've been swell to us.
You've certainly changed our opinions of giants.
If I've done that, I am very happy. All right, come on, Fraidy Cat. Back in my pocket you go. And goodbye to all of you. Remember, I'm here to help you if you want me.
Goodbye, Fifo. Pretty nice of him to be so polite and helpful, wasn't it?
It surely was. But then, I really wasn't afraid of him when I first saw him.
Why, you old storyteller, you were too.
Certainly you were. You were scared to death, and you know it.
Well, if you won't believe me, I won't talk about it anymore.
Which way shall we go?
It's awful hard to know which way. We haven't any idea where the crazy quill dragon might have gone.
Well, he didn't know this forest any better than we did. So if we just follow our noses, we'll probably come as close to him of finding him as any other way we can do.
Well, that's silly. Just like some people say, follow your nose.
Well, not in Maybeland it isn't. Now, if you want to find somebody real bad, that's just what you do. Follow your nose. And eventually you find him.
Is that some more magic?
Well, I don't know if it's magic, but it generally works.
All right. I guess we'll try it. Say, which way are our noses pointed?
That's silly, too. They're pointed straight ahead of us.
Well, then, that's the way to go.
Right through this underbrush and everything?
Yes, we get through it as much as we can.
All right. But I hope we don't get all scratched up.
Want to take my hand, Judy?
No, Jimmy. It's easier for me to go by myself because... Oh! What's happened?
It's all dark.
Dark nothing? It's pitch black.
I can't see you, Jimmy, or you, Cinnamon Bear. I can't see anything.
Grab hold of my hand, Judy, and you take this one, Cinnamon. Let's just stand right here together until it gets light again.
What do you suppose ever made it get dark so quick? Maybe it just decided to get nighttime in a hurry.
No, Judy. I think it's magic. The wintergreen witch probably shut off the lights.
Maybe the electric light company turned them off because she didn't pay her bill.
Well, whatever it is, I don't like it one little bit. It's dark and scary and... Ooh!
Well, what's the matter, Judy? What is it?
Look! Look! Over there!
Heavenly days! Two yellow lights like eyes are flashing in the dark.
As Jimmy often says, gee willikers, what's going to happen next? I'd like nothing better than to know right this very minute, but like you, I'm going to have to be patient and wait until next time.
The Cinnamon Bear, on Tuned to Yesterday, Part 11 of 26 from December 9th, 1937. The day after Thanksgiving in 1937 in Portland, Oregon, the show made its debut on the air. It was first sponsored by the Lippman Wolf chain of department stores in the Portland area and remained that way for many years. Even today, Portland is considered the epicenter of Cinnamon Bear fans and the holiday listening tradition. There's even a Cinnamon Bear cruise families can take off the coast of Portland that feature listening parties and people dressed up as characters from the play, including the Cinnamon Bear. You're listening to an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now, part 12 of 26 of the Cinnamon Bear series, first heard on December 10th, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
Let's see about Judy and Jimmy and the Cinnamon Bear. We left them in the Magic Forest, which they got into by walking through a big picture in the Wintergreen Witch's house. Remember how frightened they were when they met Fifo the Giant? And remember how nice he turned out to be and how he took them to the Goody Goody Grove for an elegant banquet? But they still had to overtake the Crazy Quill Dragon, who had stolen the Silver Star again. So they left Fifo and plunged into the forest. And then, all of a sudden-like, it got pitch dark. And they saw two yellow lights like eyes flashing in the inky blackness.
Ooh, do you suppose it's the witch?
Maybe it's some terrible monster.
Oh, it's so dark. And those awful yellow eyes.
Oh, don't be scared, Judy. I'll take care of you.
What was that?
Gee, I wish I knew.
It's so creepy.
It's some awful monster. That's his breathing.
Look, it's getting light again.
Sure enough. It must have been magic.
And there's my monster.
Why, it's the crazy quilled dragon.
Can you beat that? And here we were scared like everything.
Looks like he's fainted or something. He's all in a heap.
Yes, but his eyes are wide open. That's what we saw in the dark.
Hey, crazy quilled, wake up and hear the birdies.
Here, let me try. I'll tweak his nose for him.
Where am I?
Never mind where you are. Where's our silver star?
Up to your old tricks again, huh, crazy
quilt? Is this a dream? Oh.
Now, don't try and pull that stuff. Come on, talk fast. Where's the star?
Star? Oh, I'm so bewildered, I... Oh, now it all comes back to me. Judy, Jimmy, and Paddy O'Cinnamon, at long last, an end to this nightmare. Is it really you, my friends, or am I still dreaming?
Of course it's us. Who else would it be?
I didn't know. I thought it might be more of the Wintergreen Witch's magic.
Magic?
Yes. Oh, you'll never know what I've been through. Oh, the shame of it all. Oh, agony.
Why don't you stop your infernal mourning and tell us what happened?
Well, to make a short story long, after those pirates sailed away with you, I dashed hither and thither like a mad thing in search of enough corks to make me watertight so I could swim after you.
Did you find them?
Luckily, yes. I stumbled on the requisite 4 barrels of corks, swallowed them hastily, and in I plunged.
And you swam after us all the way?
All the way. A mere nothing, though. By the by, I was backstroke champion last year, you know. And I also hold medals for freestyle swimming, the root beer crawl...
Oh, quit bragging, crazy quilt, and get on with your story.
Far be it from me to enumerate my aquatic achievements to an unappreciative audience. Well, anyway, I swam like 10,000 dragons and arrived at the island of Obi in remarkably good time. But when I attempted to land, I was stopped by a wave which I couldn't get through.
Sure, that was the magic wave.
Decidedly. It occupied a great deal of my time, but finally I managed to dive under it and proceeded to the shore. There, to my delight, I saw the silver star reposing on the bosom of a roly-poly policeman.
And then you talked him into giving it to you.
I didn't either. I was just about to engage him in casual conversation when, wham, something indescribable overcame me.
Yeah, you just couldn't resist the star. It was so bright and shiny.
Oh, it was terrible. I wasn't myself at all. Some powerful and evil influence seemed to guide me. A voice kept repeating and repeating in my left ear. That's the blue and orange one, you know. Get the star. Come this way. And so, although I wanted to wait for you, in agony I fought to wait for you, this diabolical force kept pulling me.
Sure. Just itchy claws. That's all. Itchy claws.
Don't interrupt him, Cinnamon Bear.
And to my utter shame, I succumbed to the voice, got the star by pretending you'd sent me after it, and was drawn like steel to a magnet, up the beach, into a house, through the picture frame, into this magic forest, right to the spot where you found me just now. And then, oh, I shudder to think of it.
What happened?
The Wintergreen Witch appeared.
Applesauce. The educated owl said she went to the witch's convention.
A trick? A hoax? This ominous, weird thing stood before me, and then I realized it was she who had exercised this horrible power over me. Made me steal the star.
Oh, come now, crazy quilt. Don't blame it on a lady.
She's no lady. And she made me hand over the precious star. And then I think she must have put me in a short trance. Because that's all I remember. Oh, agony.
Jiminy crickets.
Poor old crazy quilt.
Sounds fishy to me. That's what it does.
Well, you believe me, don't you, Judy?
Of course I do. Didn't you save us from the Inkaboos?
Sure he did. Say, what did the witch look like, Crazy Quill?
Oh, hideous, horrible, terrifying. She changed colors all the time. Ugly green, then purple, then blood red. And that nightmare of a face, great rolling eyes, 3 fangs peering through an ugly slit of a mouth and...
Stop. I don't think I want to hear any more.
Oh, Judy, if you get scared just by hearing Crazy Quill talk about that old witch, how are you going to be when we meet her face to face?
I don't want to meet her face to face at all.
Well, that's just what we're going to have to do if we want to get our silver star back.
Sure. Got to meet her face to face. Got to be very brave.
That's what I say, though somewhat reluctantly.
I guess I can be as brave as the rest of you.
But how are we going to find our way back to the place where we came through the picture frame?
Gee willikers, I haven't thought about that. These woods all look the same. Do you know which way to go, Crazy Quilt?
Oh, I'm dreadfully sorry, or maybe dreadfully happy, that I haven't the slightest idea which way to reach the Wintergreen Witch's house. Remember, I've been in a trance or something.
Huh. I wish you'd go back into your trance and shut the door after you. Well, children, I guess there's nothing left to do but follow our noses. Hope we'll find a place where we come in. Come on, let's go.
Looky! Look what just popped up on the other side of that bush.
Why, it's a yellow rabbit, and he's grinning from ear to ear.
Very friendly looking, too. Perhaps he can direct us. I shall accost him in my best Dragonian manner. Greetings, my little woodland wayfarer, my little relative of the blessed Easter Bunnikin. Won't you join us?
Oh, look at him hop right over to us.
And now, who might you be?
I'm called the Rhyming Rabbit, because rhyming is my habit.
Listen to him, Jimmy. He talks just like a poem sounds.
Intriguing no end. Tell me, Rhyming Rabbit, what makes you talk in poetry?
I ate a rhyming dictionary, which made me very literary. I rhyme from break of day till sunset because of all the rhymes I once had.
This is all very interesting, but it doesn't help us find our way out of here. If you're so good at rhyming, Mr. Rabbit, perhaps you can tell us how to get to the Wintergreen Witches?
You want to know which way's the witches? It's hard to tell just way witches.
Oh, come, come, my little poet laureate. You either know or you don't.
That's what I say. Can you show us how to get back through the picture frame?
I'd be most happy to oblige you. Just follow me and I will guide you.
That's grand, Mr. Abbott. Come on, everybody.
Yeah, one moment, please. Is that a beautiful beehive over there, or am I dreaming?
It's a beehive, all right. Why?
Next to cinnamon buns, there's nothing like honey.
Oh, come on, Patio Cinnamon. I thought you were in a hurry.
Oh, it won't take a minute for a snack. What's that?
If I'm not mistaken, it's a bumblebee, and he's guarding the hive.
Oh, what's a bumblebee? Out of my way, ruffians.
You better mind your own business.
I am. Honey is my business.
Excuse me for the slight intrusion. You'd better mind your P's and Q's and stay away from bumblebees and listen to a bit of reason.
No mere bee's going to stop me. Honey, here I come. He got me. That's right, laugh. Somebody get me a mud puddle quick. And as for you, you rhyming rabbit, don't stand there grinning. I suppose you're going to say I told you so. Well, what do you got to say for yourself, smarty?
You should always let the bumblebee be. You'll never win his friendship, no siree. You may hobnob with a gadfly, though he's more or less a bad fly, but you'd better let the bumblebee be. You can dawdle with a doodle bug or flea. Our katydid is charming company. You can visit with a cricket or a cockroach in a thicket, but you'd better let the bumblebee be. Just take a bit of sound advice from me and keep away from his vicinity. You may think you'd have a keen time, but he'd sting you in the meantime, so you'd better let the bumblebee be. Ouch! You'd better let the bumblebee be.
What a shame. That bumblebee stung the rabbit, and he wasn't doing a thing either.
Water, water, pour on water. He got me where he hadn't oughter. Never trust a bumblebee, because he'll sting you like he stung me.
He's running away.
It serves him right. He laughed when I got stung, didn't he?
But he was going to show us how to get back through the picture frame. What to do now? What to do?
I know. The whistle. The one the giant gave me.
Giant? Oh, I don't like that one little bit. Sounds bad.
Oh, but Seafo's a gentle giant, and he was very nice to us.
Sure, and he gave me this little whistle and said if we ever needed help, just to blow on it 3 times, and he'd come a-running.
I'm sure Seafo can help us. Blow the whistle quick, Jimmy.
Okay.
Oh, goodness, Jimmy. That's not loud enough for anyone to hear. Better let me try it. I'm good at wood instruments, you know. Played the tuba in college.
All right, Crazy Quilt. Here it is.
Ah, now watch the old maestro. I place the instrument thus. Inhale. And...
What happened?
Gee willikers. He swallowed the whistle.
Out of the frying pan, into the fire. It seems that our friends will never quite get out of trouble. And what's more important, how will they ever get out of the magic forest now that Crazy Quilt has swallowed the whistle? Well, maybe we'll find out next time. So be sure to listen, won't you?
The Cinnamon Bear, Part 12 of 26, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 10th of December, 1937. You're listening to Christmas programs on Tuned to Yesterday. Now on to the Jimmy Durante Show, an NBC broadcast from Christmas Eve, 1947.
Good health to all from Rexall. From Hollywood, the Jimmy Durante Show.
Ink, a dinkity. I didn't kiddo, I didn't kiddo. Oh, what a tune! Oh, a tune! You've got to start off each day with a song.
Santa Claus, what's in that bag?
Even when things go wrong.
Santa, what's in that bag?
You feel better, you even look better.
Tell me, what's in that bag?
Please, sonny, I've been telling you all day. This ain't no bag, it's my schnoz.
Oh, merry, merry Christmas, Jimmy.
A merry Christmas to you too, Mr. Petrie. Too bad your name ain't Michael. Then I could wish you a merry Michaelmas.
Oh, gosh, Jim, you sure have your troubles at Christmas time, don't you? I'll bet with all your political connections, it was sure tough selecting Christmas gifts for them.
On the contrary, Howard, yes. And my toughest job was pick... That's what it says on the paper. Don't get so smart, Christmas Eve. And my toughest job was picking out a present for Henry Wallace. You see, 2 years ago, I gave a big Christmas party for Henry, and last year, I gave him a second party. So this year, I'm going to get him a date with Jane Russell.
A date with Jane Russell? Isn't that a strange gift for Henry Wallace?
Don't be silly. Can you think of a better third party? Durante, if you weren't so pretty, you'd make a good comedian.
Say, Jimmy, suppose Wallace does organize a third party. Does it affect you and your campaign for the vice presidency?
Not in the slightest, Howard. Not in the slightest. I'm a candidate on four other tickets. The Democrats, the Socialists, the Republicans, and the Labor Party.
You're a candidate on four different tickets?
Certainly. Why be half safe?
Well, now, Jimmy, listen. If you want to ensure your election, you'll have to give the people a plan to help the food conservation program.
I've been working on the food problem, Howard, and I want to report...
I've been 82!
I've been 84!
I'll make it 86!
I'll make it 90!
How do you like that? A guy walked in with a box of Wheaties and two grain speculators start bidding for it. Well, that's the conditions that prevail. Yeah. But as I was saying, I've been working on the food problem, Howard. Last week, I dug a hole in the backyard and planted some shrimp cocktail that was left over for dinner. Then I dug another hole and planted some leftover pea soup. And then I dug another hole and planted some leftover lamb chops. I watered it faithfully every day. And this morning, you know what came up?
What?
A gopher with a note that said, "What's the matter? No dessert?" Food production can only be increased if we improve our national irrigation system.
Why, Jimmy, I'm glad you brought that up, because there's a man here to see you from the United States Department of Rivers and Waterways.
Well, what are we waiting for? Open a faucet and let him in.
Yeah. Well, here he is, Jimmy, Mr. Ripple, the Commissioner of Rivers and Waterways.
Well, how do you do?
Nice to meet you, Mr. Ripple. Glad you dripped in. Now, tell me, sir, what seems to be your problem?
Well, the United States needs more water.
Well, why don't you make a tour around the country? You're giving off a fine spray.
Well, I did make a tour. I started by diving in at the mouth of the Columbia River and swimming upstream to the headwaters.
And what happened?
Three salmon proposed to me.
Them salmon will do anything to get away from Del Monte. But never mind the salmon, Mr. Ripple. When you're underwater, did you, or do you ever see any pretty mermaids? Confidentially, how do you like them? Well, as a candidate for the vice presidency, naturally I'm interested in improving the Columbia River. Tell me, what can I do about it?
Well, after swimming in it for 3 days, I've only got one thing to report.
What?
I'm forever blowing bubbles.
You know, I'm glad he left. I was going down for the third time.
Hey, just a minute here, Jimmy. I just noticed. What's that string tied around your finger?
I'm glad you noticed, Howard. That string means there's somebody I forgot to get a present for.
Gosh, Jimmy, was it President Truman?
No.
General Marshall?
No.
Princess Elizabeth?
No, but you're getting warm. It's Umbriago. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Umbriago. How I love him. When I see a Christmas turkey, I think of him. He's a winner. And at Christmas, I know he'll be late for dinner. He won't starve by heck. He'll never leave a speck. He'll eat the turkey's neck. Don't stand near the mistletoe, or you'll be kissed by Mr. Umbriago. Let me hear it. Umbriago. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Umbriago. Happy New Year. Umbriago, how I love that Umbriago. You know, last Christmas I remembered him. I sent him a brand new automobile with the latest invention on it. With this invention, if you're driving down the road and you see a lady driver coming towards you, you press a button, the car folds up and hides in the glove compartment. Don't stand near the mistletoe, or you'll be kissed by Mr. Umbriago.
Well, folks, just like all over the world, it's Christmas Eve in the Durante household. Let's peek in on Durante and Treacher.
I say, Mr. Durante, sir, may I wish you a Merry Christmas?
Indeed you may, and a Merry Christmas to you too, Treacher.
Thanks.
Tell me, how did you like that sweater I gave you for Christmas? Don't spread this around, Treacher, but I knitted it myself.
Oh, thank you, sir. It's a lovely sweater. It's quite she-she.
No, it's he-he. I knit them different for women. I love that kind of carry-ons on. Now, tell me, where's Peggy Lee and the rest of the gang?
They're all in the other rooms, sir, opening their gifts. How did you make out this Christmas, sir?
Broke even, gave tithes, and got handkerchiefs. But look, I need your help. Margaret O'Brien will be here in a minute. Now, how can I get this ink stain out of my trousers?
Oh, that's very simple, sir. Use this emery board. Just keep rubbing the emery board over the stain, and when the trousers commence to get light in color...
Yes?
Stop rubbing. That's you.
Treacher, when you were a baby, did your nurse ever drop you on your head?
Well, we couldn't afford a nurse, so my mother had to do it. Now, about this tree, sir, are you going to trim it?
Not after what happened last year. Let me tell you about it. Last Christmas, full of the spirit of Noel, I'm all set to trim the tree.
Yes?
So with the tinsel in my right pocket, the peppermint canes in my left pocket, the silver bells in one hand, the box of duds that I'm using for snow in the other, and the popcorn ball dangling from my nose, I climbed up the ladder and I'm all set to trim the tree when I hear a strange noise in the kitchen. Descending from the ladder, I push down the tinsel, the peppermint canes, the silver bells, the box of duds I'm using for snow, and the popcorn ball dangling from my nose. I investigate, and what is it? My cat wants to get out. I'm ready for silent night, and she's ready for a fruitin', a fightin', and a fussin'. So I opens the door, and off she goes to attend the big four meeting. Once more, with the tinsel in my right pocket, the peppermint canes in my left pocket, the silver bells in one hand, the box of dust that I'm using for snow in the other, and the popcorn ball dangling from my nose, I goes up the ladder. I'm just about to take a sniff of oxygen, which keeps my nose from collapsing at high altitudes. And what happens? The telephone starts to ring. So I takes a step towards the phone. I should have come down off the ladder first. Removing a sprig of hollyhock from my ear, I picks up the phone and the voice says, "Hello, guess who?" Gently ripping the wires out of the wall. Once more, I goes up the ladder with the tinsel, the peppermint canes, the silver bells, the box of dust, and the popcorn ball dangling from my nose. And finally, after 3 hours, I got wires around my neck, wires in my pocket, and wires in my hair. So I plugs a wire into the wall socket, and what happens? The tree blows a fuse, but my nose lights up. And you know something? It looked prettier than the tree.
Chicago 24, Milwaukee 57, Big Bear 36.
Treacher, what are you doing?
Well, I didn't have any lines here, sir, so I thought I'd give a weather report.
A whimsical bit of material. An old coward must be on his payroll. Oh, you go on with the treat, Treacher. I'll answer the door. Well, Merry Christmas, Margaret.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
What a voice. Which Margaret is this, O'Brien or Truman? Why, it's Margaret O'Brien.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Gee, this is fun.
Well, Margaret, you really got the Christmas spirit, haven't you?
Oh, it's been wonderful, Jimmy. I've been out with a bunch of neighborhood kids singing Christmas carols.
Yes?
First we sang under Bob Hope's window, and he threw us a quarter. Then we sang under Red Skelton's window, and he threw us a quarter.
Go on.
Then all of his kids went over to Jack Benny's house.
Did you sing for Mr. Benny?
No, we split the money with him. He's head of our union.
Well, come on in, Margaret. You're always welcome in my humble chapeau.
Thank you, Jimmy. And here's the present I brought for you. Open it up.
Why, Margaret, this is the best of Katie.
You like it?
Just what I wanted, a Mickey Mouse beauty kit.
I wanted to give it to you, Jimmy, because I think you're beautiful.
Would you say that
again? I think you're
beautiful. There, I gotta have this show transcribed. A thing like that should go on record.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Hello there, Margaret.
Hello, Miss Lee. Say, Jimmy, Peggy's standing under the mistletoe. Why don't you turn out the lights and steal a kiss?
Thanks for the tip, Margaret. Here goes the lights. Pucker up, Peggy. There you are, sweetheart. How do you feel getting a real Durrani kiss?
I'm feeling mighty low.
What a blow. It's Candy Candido, this month's Woodsberry bride. He's lovely. He's engaged. He uses chicken fat. Now, come on, Margaret.
Quiet, Jimmy. Oh, look, Margaret's fallen asleep under the Christmas tree.
How do you like that? This Yuletide is too much for her. Let her take a little snooze. Pleasant dreams, Margaret.
Where am I? All this ice and snow and reindeer. Why, this is Santa Claus's home at the North Pole, and there he stands with his reindeer. Tell me, are you really Santa Claus?
That's right, little girl. I'm old Saint Nick.
Gee, Santa Claus, how old are you anyway?
Why, Margaret, Santa Claus lived since the beginning of the world. I guess I'm over 2,000 years old.
Gee, even older than Al Jolson. Gee, I'm a lucky girl meeting Santa Claus and seeing all his reindeer.
You know, Margaret, I didn't always use reindeer. On my first Christmas trip, I thought to deliver a message. I thought I'd deliver presents on horseback. Some of my helpers tried to teach me to ride it. He said, when the horse goes down, you go up. And when the horse goes up, you go down. So I tried it. I got on the horse. When the horse went down, I went up. And when I came down, the horse was gone.
Wait a minute. Was it that funny?
Oh, no, your beard's tickling me.
Oh, I see.
But tell me, Santa, may I go with you to deliver the presents?
You sure can, little girl. Just help me get the harness over these reindeer's horns. We gotta hurry, though. These reindeers can only work 8 hours a day. They're organized now.
The reindeer are organized.
That's right. Patrol makes anything with a horn join the union. But I've got to get dressed for my trip. Here, Margaret, take this Peggy Lee doll. It'll sing for you while I'm putting my coat on.
Oh, a real Peggy Lee doll. Isn't she beautiful? I'll wind it up and see if she can really talk.
Thank you, Margaret. This song is just for you and Santa.
Thanks, Dolly. Sing it for Margaret and old Saint Nick.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to say goodnight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's ordered lots of toys and goodies in his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase for kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas.
Margaret, now that you're up here at the North Pole, are you ready to start your ride with old Saint Nick? I was much younger when I started that line.
Well, Santa, are all the presents packed on your sleigh?
Well, let's see, little girl. I'll check my list. I've taken care of Winston Churchill, Ernest Bevins, President Truman. Wait a minute, I forgot to get something for Mahatma Gandhi. Help me out, Margaret. What do you think I should give Mahatma Gandhi?
An electric blanket. Those sheets get awfully cold in the winter.
Well, I ain't got any more time to dilly-dally. Come on. Climb up on the sleigh and we'll start our trip. On, Dunder. On, Blitzen. On, Dancer. On, Eisenhower.
How did Eisenhower get in there?
He wants to get in training. He may be running next year. Let's go. Make way for old Saint Nick. Look down there, Margaret. We're in Beverly Hills, right over Betty Grable's house.
Well, aren't you going down to fill Betty Grable's stockings?
Why bother? She fills them much better than I could. But hold tight, sweetheart. We're going down and visit a little girl who lives in the house here. Let's go. Come on, I'll knock on the door.
But why are you knocking on the door? I always thought that Santa Claus came down the chimney to leave his bundle.
Oh, no, the stork can't make it with his beak. Why should I try it with mine? Hello, little girl. I'm old Saint Nick. What's your name?
I'm Little Candy, but I'm mad at you, Santa Claus.
But, Little Candy, why are you mad at Santa Claus?
Because of last year. I wanted a pony, and he brought me a
baby brother.
They blame everything on old Saint Nick. How old can a Saint Nick get? I've got a lot of gifts for you, Little Candy. But tell me one thing. How do you feel about spending Christmas in sunny California?
Well, I can tell you about it in a little poem. Christmas in California just isn't right, you know. When I dream of a white Christmas,
I'm feeling mighty snow.
What a voice. What a voice. Sounds like a tonsils were caught in a mixmaster.
Oh, Santa Claus, I wish you'd do me a big favor. My little boyfriend, Stanley, lives in that house right next door, and he doesn't believe in Santa Claus. Would you come over with me and prove to him that he's wrong?
He doesn't believe there's a Santa Claus?
No, and he's awful stubborn. I'll knock on the door. So, Margaret, I'm not gay enough for you. You have to go out with a show-off and a red suit. Please, Stanley, you don't understand. He's old Saint Nick.
Everybody wants to get into the action.
Why, look at you. Your whiskers don't even hide your nose.
Sonny, the beard wasn't built that could hide this nose.
Well, Margaret, you've made your choice. We're through. I'm going out in the backyard and eat worms. Do you hear me? I'm going to eat worms.
Poor kid, he must have heard about the price of Christmas turkeys.
Goodbye, Margaret. You've given me up for this phony. There is no Santa Claus.
Stanley, don't you dare say that again. All of us boys and girls here in America must believe in Santa Claus. All of us have enough food to eat, warm clothes to wear, and many other things that children in other countries haven't got. When you live in America, Stanley, you've just got to believe there's a Santa Claus. There is a Santa Claus. There is a Santa Claus. There is a Santa Claus.
Margaret, wake up. You've been dreaming. Wake up.
Yes, Santa. Oh, you're not Santa Claus. You're Jimmy Durante.
That's right, Margaret. I'm not Santa, but I'm somebody very close to him.
I didn't know anyone was close to him.
Yes, Margaret, I am. Listen. I'm Jimmy Durante Claus.
He's the partner of Santa Claus.
His toy bag isn't on his back as he goes through the snows.
He's got a better face in front. He hooks it on his nose.
He's Jimmy Durante Claus.
He's the partner of Santa Claus.
Don't I seem familiar? Now think back through your brain, dear.
I'm not sure, but somehow you look like his leading reindeer.
The partner of Santa Claus is Jimmy the Santa Claus.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride Durante Claus's sleigh.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Who can afford a car today, so I ride an open sleigh. Tonight is Christmas Eve, we know, so up and down the hall.
No creature stirring, and before old Santa comes to call.
We'd like to wish a Merry Christmas to you, one and all. From
Howard Petrie.
Candy Candido.
Boy Bargy.
Peggy Lee.
Arthur Treacher.
Margaret O'Brien.
Bob Harmon.
All right, Jimmy. Jimmy, we've got to say Merry Christmas at least 10,000 times more.
That's a lot of Merry Christmases.
But that's how many Rexall druggists there are, Jimmy. You know, folks, many of you have already been wished a Merry Christmas by your Rexall druggist. We'd like to say it again. So, on behalf of Rexall druggists everywhere, Merry Christmas to all from Rexall.
Touché, Professor Peatman. I'd like to add a Merry Christmas from your Rexall store. Your Rexall store and 10,000 more. Old Umbriago sends us greetings too from Rexall. That's all. How do you do? Far away, when we're far. Let me hear that high note, Pico. What a note.
A delightful note, Mr. Durante.
A delirious note, Mr. Petrie. Now, excuse me for a minute. There are a lot of pretty girls around here, and I'm going to go over there in that corner and stand over the missile lip.
Missile lip? Oh, Jimmy, you mean mistletoe.
You kiss what you want, I'll kiss what I want. But thank you, Margaret O'Brien, for coming over this evening. And don't forget to listen in next week, when my old pal, Gary Moore, will pay me a New Year's Eve visit. Merry Christmas, everybody, and Merry Christmas to you, Mrs. Caliban.
Well, that's all for tonight, folks. From Peggy Lee, Arthur Treacher, Candy Candido, Roy Bargy, and his orchestra, yours truly, Howard Petrie.
And Jimmy Durante, who says, Merry Christmas, everybody. Good night, Mrs. Calabash, and Merry Christmas.
This program is produced and directed by Phil Cohan. Margaret O'Brien appears with the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Cass Timberlane, starring Spencer Tracer and Lana Turner. Good health to all from Rexall.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Jimmy Durante program on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC broadcast from December 24th, 1947, wrapping up this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Happy holidays.